everybody. Welcome to episode 449 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and I'm going to be talking about a few of the books that are coming out this Wednesday from Aftershock, as well as a deeper look at one of the books that previously had been released from Aftershock, and unfortunately, we haven't seen an issue in over a year now, but I wanted to bring it up because I recently reread it, and I think it's really good, and I'm disappointed that there isn't more. It's American Monster by Brian Azzarello, not to keep you in suspense about it. But so I want to talk a little bit about that, and then maybe another one of the books that I've talked about many times that I love from Aftershock, and maybe the reason these books aren't around, and perhaps some ideas about the way we could bring them back, right? Like why they might have gone away and what we can do to see them return. So, but first let me go down the list of the titles that are coming out this Wednesday and just talk real brief about them. I'm not going to spoil anything. I know it's only Monday and you guys won't get a chance to check anything out until Wednesday. So, don't want to spoil anything. So the first book that I'll mention, I'll just go in alphabetical order here, Animosity Evolution from Marguerite Bennett. Handling the art duties on this issue is Eric Gapster. We've got colors by Rob Schwager and letters by Marshall Dillon. So Animosity continues to be a pretty big hit for Aftershock. You know, it's got two titles now. It's got Animosity, which is the main book, and then it's got Animosity Evolution. Animosity, of course, telling the story of Jessie and her dog Sandor as they trek across the country, and they're actually headed to Jessie's uncle, Adam North, who's one of the main characters in the Animosity Evolution book that's set in San Francisco. So what I love about Animosity is what Marguerite Bennett is doing with the books as far as the relationships and the politics that's going on, right? Initially when it started, and perhaps this is the reason it was so popular, it felt like another kind of post-apocalyptic book, and you know, animals gain sentience, and it's kind of end of the world, end of times kind of thing, right? And how are people going to survive? You know, maybe some people thought it would be a, you know, kind of Walking Dead vibe. It's actually not that at all, which is what I love about it. It's very much a book about politics, about, you know, what would the world be like in this situation, and how would things change? And I think because of that, it's a lot different than a lot of people expected. So it continues to be a really great book. And, you know, I haven't heard sales numbers. I don't know if it's starting to slow down. I don't quite hear as many people talking about it as I used to. So I think maybe that might be the case. It might be slowing down a little bit, but it's still a really, really great title, and one that I definitely recommend. So Animosity Evolution issue 7 is in comic stores this Wednesday, August 8th, I should say. The next book I'll mention is Clan Killers number 2. This is from writer Sean Lewis. And I can't remember. Let me just open up the file here because honestly, I don't remember who the artist is. Apologies for that. Oh, that's right. It's Antonio Fuso with colors by Stefano Simeone and letters by Dave Sharp. So we actually had Sean Lewis on the show to talk about this when it first was announced, or rather when the final order cutoff for issue 1 came around. And so I encourage you, if you want more details, to go back and listen to that episode. I think it was a pretty good one, and there's a lot to dig into here. You know, it's about parentage, it's about children, it's about a world that's totally fallen on hard times and is super, super dark. So yeah, you could almost think of it as a twisted fairy tale. You know, I know how popular shows like Once Upon a Time are. So think of it as Once Upon a Time, but like turned up to like 13, right, on the dial, because it is very dark. It's very much for mature readers. And yeah, again, if you want more detail, go check out go check out the interview with Sean. I will say this about issue two. It's titled Heads Will Roll, and it's appropriately titled because there's a lot of messed up stuff that happens in this book. And you really got to wonder, man, just how did these young kids get so messed up? But again, you know, growing up in a world like this where, you know, bad stuff is the norm rather than the exception, I guess it kind of makes sense, you know? So anyway, Clan Killers, issue two out in comic stores this Wednesday. Okay. So the next book I'll mention is Her Infernal Descent. And this is the book that's kind of the retelling of Dante's Inferno. It's from writers Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson. And we've got Kyle Charles on the art duties with Dee Cuniff handling colors and Ryan Ferrer on letters. I have to admit, I'm not that familiar with Dante's Inferno. I mean, I read it in college and everything, but that was a long time ago, and it's really hard to remember. But the thing that keeps coming back to me about this version of the story, you know, despite the obvious gender change with the person that's exploring, and also the fact that she's chosen to go to hell to search for her family, rather than I think Dante, you know, more kind of stumbles across it. But other than that, I mean, it's a huge difference, and clearly it plays in to the story, because it's like, you know, what's the motivation for the characters? And that's always, you know, a driving factor in any story or any narrative. But beyond that, the thing that really strikes me about it is the poignancy of the story. Again, it does kind of tie in with the motivation, right? Like the fact that this mother has chosen to go to hell because she lost her family and is willing to, you know, put herself through this in hopes of rescuing them. That speaks a lot toward like feeling and just how much she cares about her family, right? Like how much she's driven by her love and dedication to them, and how really she didn't see how she was losing anything. As far as, you know, what if I go to hell and I die, or I go to hell and I'm trapped there? Well, what difference does it make? Because she's not really living a life anyway, right? Because she is missing out on life, basically. So for that reason, I think that as I said, the poignancy of the story is really what gets you, you know. It's kind of like, what's the expression? All the feels. Definitely get all the feels. And the other cool thing about it is Nadler and Thompson are always putting in cool, like cool pop culture references. Like in this issue, there's a really cool kind of moment or scene with Hunter S. Thompson. Well, I suppose it's not Hunter S. Thompson. It's his protagonist, Raoul Duke, from the, was it Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? I think Johnny Depp portrayed him in the movie. There's a really cool scene in the book with that. And the fact that Nadler and Thompson get to kind of play with this, because it is, so much of a modern take, and put these pop culture references in there, it's really great. So, and I haven't talked to Lonnie or Zach in a while about the book, and I've been wanting to have Zach back on. We just haven't been able to make the timing work. But you know, when he was on before and we spoke about it, there was some surprise, but he also was very grateful. Some surprise with how well the book was being received by academia. And being taught in classrooms now. I do know somebody who is right now working on their master's with the Divine Comedy specifically. So I'm really curious to get their opinion once the trade's out. I plan on getting a trade and gifting it to them to just to have their opinion of it, you know, from a quote unquote expert. Cause like I said, I haven't read, Dante's Inferno, never read the whole thing. And haven't read any of it since college. So I do recommend it though. It is, a very heartfelt story that's unfolding. All right, let's see. Up next, probably my favorite. Oh man, it's a tough call, but I'm going to say it's my favorite Aftershock book of the month, or of the week rather, I should say. It's Hot Lunch Special, number one, from Elliot Rahal. Again, Elliot was nice enough to join me a couple weeks ago to talk about the book, and man, I know he didn't really want to spoil anything, and for anybody who's listening, we didn't want to, you know, give away too much. And normally when I do, do interviews, for before Final Order Cutoff, which the interview for Hot Lunch Special was, normally I read the book ahead of time. I'll just ask for an advance copy because I don't usually get my preview copies until the Friday before. So it's not even a full week before. But I didn't ask for a preview copy this time. And I'm glad I didn't because, it was really, really great to kind of come into it, not really knowing what to expect. You know, Elliot is a really funny guy. He writes, Quantum and Woody for Valiant as well. And, you know, he talked about the fact this was going to be much more of a serious book than anything he had done before. But it's one thing to hear him say that, and then it's another to actually read the book and see just how hard-boiled it is. But man, it was great. It's very much, for me, had an old kind of 70s New York Mafia kind of feel. I don't know if that's what Elliot was going for, but it was great. The characters were very compelling. It was extremely well-paced. I was very impressed. It's one of those books where as soon as I finished reading it, I wanted the next issue. So man, I think you really got to pick this book up. It was absolutely, amazing. Totally blew me away. All right. The next book or the last book that I'll mention that's coming out from Aftershock before I do that, I probably want to mention, the creative team, for Hot Lunch Special. I mentioned, Elliot Rahal as writer, and we have Jorge Fornes on art. So then the other book that's coming out from Aftershock this week is Relay Number 2, also written by Zach Thompson from kind of an idea from Donnie Cates. Kind of gave the outline or came up with the idea, and the art's by Andy Clark. Now, the first thing I'll talk about is the art. Now, we all know how I feel about Relay. Relay? No, really. I have Relay on the brain here. We all know how I feel about Replica. It's my favorite Aftershock title of all time by Paul Jenkins. Very sad that we haven't seen it return. More on that in a bit. But also, it's Andy Clark doing science fiction art and doing it extremely well. So with Relay, you know, the concept is there's this monolith that basically is seeded throughout the galaxy on inhabited worlds that are inhabited by intelligent species, and it basically kind of speeds up their evolution, gives them access to technology and, you know, industry and all that kind of stuff, and brings about peace and prosperity. And everybody's on the same page. But that's the thing. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody has to have the same beliefs and the same culture, basically. And so it's monoculture. And what's the sacrifice for that? Like, you know, you're giving up your freedom, your individuality to some extent for progress, for, you know, advancement up the evolutionary ladder. And is that okay? So it's an interesting concept. And the first issue, we met kind of one of the protagonists of the book. And he was talking about he was very much a zealot. You know, he was talking about the guy that kind of created the relay. That's what the monolith is called that goes around and seeds all these planets. And so it was interesting. He kind of worked for like the program that sends these relays out, and they're searching for the inventor of it, Donaldson, who's kind of this mythic figure to them because he kind of invented the relay and the idea of it. And it, the first issue wasn't what I expected, because it was so matter of fact. But when I stopped to think about it, it made sense, right? Like this relay and this kind of way of life had been around for so long. Of course, why wouldn't it be like this? Why wouldn't it be matter of fact? The second issue really moves the story into high gear. Again, I don't want to spoil anything because it's just Wednesday. But the scene that ends the second issue, I'll say, it was unexpected, and it's going to be extremely interesting to see where the story goes from here, because man, oh man, did Thompson really just throw a grenade in the middle of the room and like duck for cover, right? It's yeah, it was a doozy, I'll say that. So I can't wait to see where it goes from here. Really, really great story. I'm really enjoying Relay. So that does it for the books that are going to come out this week. Yeah, tough call on picking just one. I mean, obviously you should pick all of them up because they're all great. But if you are going to pick up just one, I would say it has to be Hot Lunch Special. All right. So I said I was going to talk a little bit about American Monster. So let me give the creative team really quickly. I mentioned it's written by Brian Azzarello. We have art by Juan Doe, and he also does the letters, the logo design, pretty much everything. So it's just those two creators. So it's kind of interesting in that it's just those two, and yet, I mean, credit Juan Doe for really the look and feel of the book. And then, you know, Azzarello with the words, the story, the tone, and it's kind of spectacular. What it kind of reminds me of, anyway, is how popular shows like Justified, Ozark, and maybe Breaking Bad might be the best, comparison. Because this is a story about, you know, a small town where the sheriff's, he's not inept, but he knows not to make waves, right? Because they're drug runners, drug lords, drug kingpins. You know, there's a lot of crime. It's small town America, crime family. And into this setting walks a guy who is the American Monster, right? Thus the title. And the reason he's the American Monster is because he was burned very badly in an accident in the war. Well, we think it's an accident. We don't know exactly what happened. And he has ties to some of these people in the town, and he's there for revenge. He's there to, and you know, you get the feeling he doesn't really even care if he survives. So it's very much a hard boiled crime noir. The relationships, the backstabbing, the double crossing, it's all there. And then you bring Juan Doe in with the color work he does. A lot of it's kind of monochromatic, a lot of blacks, a lot of reds. And his just the style of it is relatively simple, clean lines. It very much reminds me of Sin City in that way. And so almost like a modern Sin City, but, you know, obviously Sin City, you know, a different kind of setting. And this clearly is set in, as I said, small town, probably middle America. And it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for young readers. It's definitely a mature title. There's a lot of foul language, some nudity, sexual situations, things like that. So, but what it is it's compelling. It's compelling. Every character in the book is flawed, and it very much comes across in their relationships with each other and how they talk to each other. But it's also very quickly paced. And so for that reason, you can't help but get sucked in. At least I couldn't. I think I've read all six issues at least three times. A few of them, like issue one or two, probably more than that. So I don't know. Maybe it didn't find its audience, which surprises me because Azzarello is such a popular writer, especially his 100 Bullets series. So again, I'm just not sure why we haven't seen more of it. Maybe he's just busy doing other stuff. I mean, I've seen Brian a few times over the last year, and I haven't wanted to ask him why we haven't seen it. Because I just have a feeling it's one of those situations where if it was selling really well, he would make the time to sit down and write it, right? But I mean, it also could be the fact maybe Juan is busy and he's not able to get to it right now. I'm just not really sure. But this, along with Replica, the title I mentioned earlier, that's my favorite Aftershock title, I know that that one was the fact that it was sales, right? It just, the sales just didn't merit the series to continue. So, you know, I find myself wondering, there's other books, Strayer might be another one. It's like, man, I enjoy these stories. I think they're quality stories. They haven't been able to find an audience. Would people be interested if, like, once a year, maybe twice a year, Aftershock put out an anthology, kind of like their Shock hardcover that came out recently, but it doesn't even have to be hardcover. It can be softcover to lower the price point. And in that anthology would be, you know, a chapter of some of these stories, right? So it would be a way for these really good stories to continue, even if maybe they didn't have good enough sales to merit that on their own for a single issue, but maybe it would work as an anthology and we'd get more of them. I don't know if that would work, but it'd be really cool. I mean, selfishly, I just want more of American Monster and more of Replica. Because I think they're really great. So I know there's a trade. I'm almost positive. Let me double check that, though. Because issue 5 or issues 1 through 5 is considered volume 1 of American Monster. And then issue 6 is the first issue of volume 2. Which, again, just makes me wonder, like, okay, so why didn't it come back? Like, it was – if it was – wasn't selling well, like, wouldn't you just have done, okay, we did the one trade and that's it, you know, volume one. It certainly isn't an ending or anything like that. But yeah, there is a trade. It went on sale November 2016. So, and issue 5 came out October 2016. So following month trade came out, and then we didn't get issue 6 until May of 2017. So as I said, it's been over a year. But yeah, I wonder if something like that could work. That might be something to consider for some of these Aftershock titles. As I said, that maybe just didn't warrant single issues. Maybe easier to do them in a trade. But I don't know if, because, you know, all this stuff is creator-owned, I don't know how that would work either. So anyway, just something I thought about. And I've been wanting to talk about American Monster for a while because I think it is such a unique series within Aftershock. There's nothing quite like it. And that is one of the great things about Aftershock. Their titles are so diverse, but man, I love this book. Every time I read it, I catch a few other details that I didn't get before. And that's part of the reason that I want it to continue, because I want to be able to have that experience of kind of catching the little clues that Azzarello's dropping. So anyway, that's going to do it for Aftershock Monday. I hope you get out there this Wednesday and pick up some of these titles, especially Hot Lunch Special number 1. Do not sleep on that book. It's really, really great. And Relay as well. That Andy Clark art, man. Wow. Amazing. Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. I'll be at Comic-Con Palm Springs coming up at the end of August, so let me know if you're going to be there. I'd love to meet up and hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard. Maybe grab a picture too. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.